from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Thank you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord. Psalm 16, congregation, please read the bold print. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Now he is living the cross. vanishes in the light of his power. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, while our gospel account of the resurrection rotates every year on Easter Sunday, when it comes to the second Sunday of Easter, it's always the same. It's this gospel lesson from John, and the infamous phrase, "Doubting Thomas," comes from this. That we often say in our culture. And I wonder if the creators of the lectionary made this a fixed passage in our three-year lectionary cycle for theological purposes, but also maybe to give clergy a break coming off Holy Week. Maybe it's chronological because it is a week after the resurrection in John's Gospel. But on Easter Sunday, we focused on Colossians chapter 3, and it invited us to think about what it means to be raised with Christ as a present reality and how that orients us to the way of Jesus. And this text does that. It's inviting us to do just that. How can we truly embody what it means to be heaven and earth people? To be an Easter people in a Good Friday world? Does a wounded, crucified, and risen Lord make a difference in your life? Because we live in a world that often does not embody the way of peace. If we're fortunate enough, we can lock ourselves away behind closed doors. We can escape all of it. We don't have to listen to the news. We don't have to turn on the TV. If we're fortunate and privileged enough, by the way, we can stay in our own bubble. We don't have to deal with all the things that we're afraid of outside in the world that lacks peace, a world filled with fear. For the disciples, it doesn't seem like their situation has changed at all, the way they're behaving, even though they have gotten word that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that the tomb is empty. They're locking themselves away in a house. And you've heard me say this often. It doesn't make sense for Christians in our society to respond to our world with fear and hate. Not only for the obvious reasons of hypocrisy, the obvious reasons of not listening to the words of Jesus, but also if we are raised with Jesus, that the resurrection makes a difference in the present, as much as it does in the future, then for any Christian to live in this world with a spirit of fear and hate is the antithesis of what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be joined to him in his resurrection. It is being paralyzed with fear that keeps us not only from living in the world as we lock ourselves away, but it prevents us from engaging others in the world with love, because we're too consumed with our fear. We've convinced ourselves to be afraid of the very neighbors that God has called us to love and serve. Now, I was talking to some colleagues earlier this week, and we wondered and pondered why we have a tendency to focus so much on the consequences of sin, but not on the consequences of resurrection. And John chapter 20 gives us a consequence of the resurrection that applies to our very lives today, as individuals and as the church. We hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathes on them. Jesus breathes on us the Holy Spirit. And during Holy Week, I had mentioned that an image of the Holy Trinity that I really love is the Trinity as lover, beloved, and the love that is shared in between them. That the love that is shared between the Father and the Son is now being breathed on us, the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, the church of every time and every place. And as a result, we are incorporated into communion with the living God, knowing that our wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is with us. We know that there is peace, even as we live in a world filled with fear and despair. We are to embody that peace in the face of hate, and to share love when confronted with fear. And we may live in a society, as theologians like Martin E. Marty say, everything is permitted and nothing is forgiven. Everything is permitted and nothing is forgiven. What a time it is to be the church then. To go out into the world and to tell those who are locked in and held captive by their sins of the past and present that all of us can be brought into communion with the living God. The world can be a harsh place. The world can isolate us. The world can be unforgiving. But Jesus breathes on us the gift of the Holy Spirit Jesus gives us the ability and the invitation and the reminder that you're always welcome home. That I am here always to welcome you back and to embrace you with open arms. You are always welcome to come home. And that is the message we carry out into the world. For we are brought to new life. We experience the freedom from our sin and liberated as we are liberated from the oppressive forces of this world. We receive the Spirit and we see the difference that our wounded, crucified, and risen Lord makes in our lives. We don't contain that to ourselves. We share that difference in the world. For the wounds of Christ are the marks of a world that is locked in with fear. The wounds of Christ are reminders of how that fear can be unleashed with violence, often on the innocent and marginalized. But Jesus does not respond from receiving those wounds, from dying on the cross, with violence or vengeance. He appears to these disciples with a message of peace and forgiveness. He shows them a new way to break the cycle of a world that is trapped in fear, violence, death, and destruction. He shows us a way of peace, mercy, forgiveness, and life in abundance. This loving response that comes from the God who is love wants us to have life and not death. And we must give people that we encounter the peace that they need in this turbulent world. Some need food. Some need clothing. Some need prayer. Everybody needs different things at different times. And the peace that we receive from Christ is calling us to be peacemakers. As a colleague of mine pointed out this week, Jesus prayed with some folks. He fed others. He washed some disciples' feet. And then he let Mary wash his. He saved one woman from death by writing in the sand and preaching to the crowd. He brought a different person back to life with words alone and then encouraged the community to step up and finish the work of healing. And following the way of Jesus and following the way of peace, we're going to go out into the world that can be hostile and embody the presence of Christ who is with us and to be that people of peace, giving them what they need. Everybody needs different things. Even in the gospel accounts, Mary heard the voice and she knew. She needed to hear. Thomas needed to see. Right? And I think the tradition has it where Thomas, he goes out to India to preach. Imagine that gift that Thomas now had as people are telling him, like, I don't know. I need this in order to believe. And Thomas could be like, I understand. I've been there. I got you. This is what happened with me. Right? We all get what we need, and we need as the church to go out and give people what they need in order that they can encounter the peace that surpasses all understanding. We know that Christ is with us when we gather around word and sacrament that fills us with God's peace. For at the Lord's table, we continue to encounter the crucified and risen Christ. And like Thomas and the disciples, we hear the words, "Take and eat, this is my body." And like Thomas and the others, we become the body of Christ. For we are sent into the world to be a people of peace, to flourish God's love in the world, to become signposts of the kingdom of heaven. The resurrection makes a difference in our lives today, as it holds to the promise of the resurrection that it has for us in the future. Then this wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is going to show up when we gather together as church. And this wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is going to show up in the world when we go out. When we go out to serve. Living out the various vocations God has called us to live into. Through the sacrament of holy baptism. You're not alone. We're not alone. Christ is promising to be with us. To show up in those places. We have nothing to fear. Which is why we can see in the good news that those disciples don't stay locked up in that room, right? They know Christ is with them as they are sent out. So the Father has sent me, so I send you. No longer do we expect the world to simply adhere to our witness and then fill our pews. We're to go out. We are sent into this world to show up in the world as people of peace, to be that Easter people in a Good Friday world, ready to share the love of Jesus. Being raised with Christ means that we know God's abiding presence and that we are joined to that. Being raised with Christ means that in receiving the Spirit, we're given the ability to share God's love and to announce God's forgiveness. And this isn't a passive spectator sport. When we receive the good news, we're called to participate in the life of our wounded, crucified, and resurrected Lord. We are to move out into the world in peace, with the peace of Christ, who is wounded, crucified, and risen, seeking to alleviate the pain of those who are suffering, love those who are hurting, and forgive those who long for reconciliation, and then to guide all people into the way of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of rebirth, the good news of your resurrection brings refreshment to a weary world. Following the women at the tomb, empower us to boldly share your radical love through our words and our work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As you breathed your spirit into the disciples, breathe your spirit of healing upon all creation. Nourish the earth with sufficient rains. Strengthen us to counter the effects of pollution and destruction. Hear us, O God. You prepared the disciples for their ministry by calming their fears and granting them your peace. Equip our community's leaders. Give them a spirit of peace and hearts that burn for justice, that their leadership reflects your love. Hear us, O God. You came among us in unexpected ways. Send us to those who hide in fear or question your love. Be a healing presence for any isolated by addiction, incarceration, mental illness, chronic pain, sickness, or grief, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Maddie, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Diane, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. As you met the disciples on the road to Emmaus, show us your presence along our journeys. Bless our doubts and questions. Provide trusting and safe relationships for all ages to nurture our connection to you and one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Resurrecting God, you bring us to new life every day. Thank you for blessing us with companions on our faith journey, especially those who now rest in your love. Strengthen us with the eternal peace of your promises. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. Who is the King of glory? How shall we call him? He is the measure of the promise of ages. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before him, lift up your voices. In all the Galilee, the city or village, he knows among his people curing their illness. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open your gates before him, lift up your voices. Sing that of David's son, our Savior and brother. Glory comes.
triumphs, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before Him, lift up your voices.
He gave His life to save us, pledge of salvation. He took upon Himself the sins of the nation. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before Him, lift up your voices. He conquered sin and death, He truly has risen. He took with the shepherds a heavenly vision. The King of glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open the gates before Him, lift up your voices.
Ruler of heaven and earth, day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave Himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea, and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks, for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke, and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anyone helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution will be continuous. We'll have two stations of consecrated wine, one station of grape juice on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups and will release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go, tell the whole world of his love. Ten tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.